Well, thank you for inviting me back. It's always good to be here with you. I look forward to it each time I'm invited. Diane and I have this thing back and forth. When she invites me and I can't come, it's sort of like, oh, can't. So when I can come, I'm very grateful for that, and I'm glad she keeps asking me. She doesn't get disappointed when I turn her down. We're going to look at the last chapter in the book of Acts this morning. But let me just sort of get things going here a little bit. The other day I was, my wife Ruth and I, busy days, so we were running in different directions all day long, and it was still nice enough that we could sit out on our balcony at the end of the day, and it was dark and we were chatting, and I was sort of unfolding my day to her. This is what happened, and I was telling her the story, and as I told her the story, I could just sense that her attention was waning and that her eyes were growing heavy. Even though it was dark, I could just sense that. So I talked on for a little while longer, and then I was quite convinced that she wasn't listening anymore. So I just started going, blah, 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 blah. And I paused, and there was no sound. And I said, and that's the end of my story. I did it kind of abruptly like that. And I said, did you get that? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, every story, every good story, should have a good conclusion. So my story must not have been that good because we never even got to the conclusion. The book of Acts is a story in its entirety. Sometimes we read the Bible in a way where we read this verse or we read that chapter or we read that story, and we kind of forget the fact that the whole book tells a story. The story in Acts begins by Jesus saying to his disciples, wait here. Wait here because something amazing is going to happen. Wait here for the gift that my Father has for you. Wait here and the Holy Spirit will come on you. Wait here and you will receive power. Power to become my witnesses. Here in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Wait here, because this is what's going to happen. This is where the story starts. This is where our interest kind of, we get drawn into the story. And then we see the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit working its way out in all the stories of Philip, the stories of Peter, the stories of Stephen. And then what dominates the latter part of the book, the stories of Paul. The Holy Spirit is working out God's promise to spread the gospel, to grow the church in Jerusalem, Judea, and all the way to the ends of the earth. And it's happening. We see that as the story develops. But when we get to Paul, The drama of Paul all seems to be pointing toward Rome. As you read the story of Paul, Paul goes here and he goes there, and there's three different journeys that he takes. He's spreading the gospel. But Rome seems to be the destination that's waiting for him. Rome is Paul's goal. That's where Acts is moving toward. It's moving toward Rome. And when we get to this part, to the end, Paul's in Rome. The last story that we're going to read, Paul is in Rome. He's made it. So what's the conclusion going to be? A good story deserves a good conclusion, right? So what's going to happen? Is the gospel going to all of a sudden become enshrined as the world's religion? Is it going to be accepted by the emperor? Or is everybody going to go to sleep like my wife did? What's the conclusion? Is it going to be a good one? Is it going to be a cliffhanger? Are we going to be satisfied with it? Are we going to be excited by it? That's the drama that builds up to the end, to the final chapter. What is the conclusion going to be? How is this story going to end? Will those grand promises at the beginning, the grand promises of the power of the Holy Spirit moving the gospel out to the ends of the earth, will those promises be fulfilled? That's the question we approach today's reading with, today's story. So let's look at that story. Are you going to project it up here, Acts 28? Or should I? You're not. Okay. I didn't want to read a different version than you had up there because that's distracting. So I'm going to read, I think I have the new Revised Standard Version. So if you don't have that and you don't want to be distracted, just listen. Acts 28, beginning at verse 17, reading through the end of the book. So Paul's in Rome. Paul's allowed to live by himself, verse 16 says, with a soldier guarding him. 3 days later, he called together the local leaders of the Jews. When they had assembled, he said to them, "Brothers, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our ancestors, yet I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. When they had examined me, the Romans wanted to release me because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But when the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to the emperor, even though I had no charge to bring against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak with you, since it is for the sake of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, "We've received no letters from Judea about you, and none of the brothers has come here, or none of the brothers coming here has reported or spoken anything evil about you. But we would like to hear from you what you think, for with regard to this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." After they had set a date to meet with him, they came to him at his lodgings in great number. From morning until evening, he explained the matter to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Some were convinced by what he said, while others refused to believe. So they disagreed with each other. And as they were leaving, Paul made one further comment. "The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your ancestors through the prophet Isaiah, 'Go to this people and say, you will indeed listen, but never understand, and you will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes so that they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Let it be known to you then that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen.'" He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness, without hindrance. So, what's the conclusion? How does Luke end the story? Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but it almost feels like he doesn't end it, right? It just sort of stops. The story doesn't seem to be over. So what's Luke trying to do? Why doesn't he bring it to some conclusion that's more satisfying to us? Well, let me suggest that there is a conclusion here. It may not have been what we're looking for. Because I think what Luke is doing is he's saying, yeah, I've brought you this far. But now you finish the story. I've told the story up to this point. I've brought the action right up to where you are. Now you live the story. You tell the story. You be the story. You see, if I can use a baseball image, maybe that's fitting with the season the Jays are having. When you play baseball, the objective is to run around the bases and get where? Home, right? Or when you play a board game. I remember Chutes and Ladders from my childhood. The objective was to start way over here and to get home. Rome is not home. That's what Luke is saying. Rome is not home. The action's not finished here. There's more to do. Rome's not home. Rome's a platform. Rome is a strategic place. The Spirit has moved through Paul through all these missionary journeys. You can read through all the places. You can look at maps where he's gone. And kind of he's reached the ends of the earth, but not really. Rome was the center of the world at that time. Rome had control everywhere in the universe, if you want to imagine it that way. They were the power. They were all it. To be in Rome, preaching the gospel unhindered, is a strategic place for the gospel to be. The gospel now has avenues to every aspect of the empire, every geographical point, unhindered, uninterrupted. Paul preached the word. Luke is saying, the story's not over. You go out. You live the story. You be the story. Rome's not home. It's not over. Take it to the next level. Live the story and tell it. Luke sets the stage for our living the story, for his audience's living the story. He sets the stage with this final story about Paul's interaction with the Jews. Luke wants his audience to see sort of the framework for living this story. And it's in this last little story. So let's see if we can pick it out of there. What's the framework for the next chapter of Acts? What's the framework for our living the next chapter of Acts in our world? Well, in the early part of the story, Paul is spending huge amounts of time talking with the Jews. And he's trying to convince them about Jesus. So the first point for understanding how to tell the story, how to live the story, the first point is it's all about Jesus. As you and I live the story in our world, as Luke's audience back then lived the story, wrote the next chapter, as they did that, they needed to understand that it's all about Jesus. From the beginning of time, when humans broke their relationship with God, God promised that he was going to fix things. It was not going to remain in this broken state forever. God says, I'm sending someone. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to restore my relationship with you and with the whole world. And he reinforced that through Moses, through the law, and through the prophets, and through the entire history of Israel. God kept saying, I will keep my promise. And Paul is talking with the Jews and saying, Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise. All the stuff that God said in the Old Testament, all the promises that he made, they're all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Sins are all forgiven. Everything is being made new. God said, I told you I wasn't going to leave it that way, and I'm not leaving it that way. I'm making everything right for you and for the entire creation. Jesus, it's all about Jesus. Jesus is at the center of every story. It's not about me getting more influence. It's not about me getting more stuff, getting more power. It's not about how I perceive. It's all about Jesus. God created the entire world, and the whole world was on its way to hell, except that God would send Jesus Christ. All of our identity is tied up in who Jesus is and what he has done. All those other things, all those other pursuits need to come under our understanding of who we are before God because of Jesus Christ. The whole story, as you live it and as you tell it, revolves around Jesus Christ. Luke is saying, go out and tell that story. Go out and tell the story of Jesus Christ, how Jesus is making the world new through you, through his church, how he's redeeming the lost, how he's making the tears dry up, how he's making illnesses go away, how he's fixing broken lives. Tell the story, says Luke. That's the conclusion to Acts. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. But then there's that quotation in there as well, right? Where Paul brings up something that Isaiah said. As we live the story, we remember that it's all about Jesus, but we also have to understand our role in that. Toward the end of that quote from Isaiah, it says, turn and be healed. Isaiah knew that Israel wasn't going to turn and be healed, but turning and being healed is what they needed to do. It's what you and I need to do. Yes, at some stage in everyone's life, we need to turn to God, turn away from whatever we're pursuing, turn to God. There's one big turn, capital T turn. That's part of our story. But there's also little T turns. Part of our story is recognizing that it's all about Jesus and what he's done, and then incorporating the redeeming, saving work of Jesus Christ in our everyday lives. So that when I'm pursuing my own reputation, God confronts me and turns me away from that. If I'm pursuing something that hurts me, like pornography, God turns me and heals me. Our lives are a series. After the big T turn, our lives are a series of little T turns, where God continues to mold and shape us to be more Christ-like in every aspect of our being and our character. So, Luke says, tell that story. That's the conclusion to the story of Acts. How God is working in you to change your character, to change your behavior, to make you more like Jesus Christ every day in everything that you do. Not just in church where we all look good and smell good, but out on the street, during the week, when somebody cuts you off in traffic, how we respond, how we live outside of church, how we live day in and day out. God wants to continue to transform. He's looking for those little T turns. And if you ever think that you've made it to where you don't have any more, I think you should probably ask somebody in your family, because they'll probably tell you there's still a few more places to change. It's a lifetime project, folks. The minute you think you've turned the corner, there's one more thing that God says, now that. And once you've accomplished that, he's going to say, now that. Because what he wants more than anything is for our lives to more and more and more reflect Jesus in us. That's the conclusion to the story of Acts. Tell that story. Live that story, says Luke. Rome ain't home. Tell the story. But then there's one more. Well, you don't have a... can I drink that water? I drank out of that glass and nobody else wants to. There's one more clue in that story for how to tell the story. Is this thing falling off of me? Can you hear me all right yet? Okay. You see, Luke gets to a point where he says, if you don't accept the gospel, that doesn't mean the story's going to end. Because the gospel's going to the Gentiles, and they will believe. So, what Luke is saying to his audience is, look at the new guy. Watch the new guy. Now, in my workplace, watch the new guy means watch him so he doesn't make mistakes. Watch him to avoid catastrophe. That's not what Luke is saying. Luke is saying, watch the new guy. As you live the story, as you tell the concluding story to the book of Acts, watch the new guy. If your energy, if your faith flags, if you become weary in well-doing, if you lose your way, like the Jews were doing, Luke says, watch the new guy. Watch the Gentiles. That's what he's saying to the Jews. Watch the Gentiles. They will believe. And then you can see what belief looks like. You can see their energy. You can see the Holy Spirit moving in them. You can see the power of God changing their lives, transforming them. Because that's what happens with new believers, right? If you've ever been in the company of a new believer, you know what I'm talking about. They're excited about their faith. They're excited about who God is. They're excited about the whole project of being a Christian because it changes their view on the whole world. Jesus is Lord. There's no bounds to what can happen if Jesus is Lord. New Christians have that excitement. They have that faith that's infectious. Look to the new guy, says Luke. If you need help writing the story, if you've got writer's block, if you don't see the lordship of Jesus, if you don't see transformation in yourself, look to the new guy and be inspired. So, what do we do with that story? Good knowledge, right? You can write down the points. It's all about Jesus. What was the second one? Come on. Now I'm drawing a blank. Watch the new. Turn and be healed. It's all about Jesus. Turn and be healed. Watch the new guy. What do we do with that? Well, we live it. We live it. We live the knowledge that Jesus is Lord. We live the knowledge that Jesus wants to continue to transform us, to make us more Christ-like. We look to the faith of the newcomer for inspiration, for energy, for encouragement. We live that story. But I think we also need to tell those stories. And we're not, if you're anything like me and my Dutch background, we're not too good at telling stories. We like the knowledge part, right? Okay, there's the three things. Okay, good. I'm ready to go home now. But we need to tell one another the stories. Because that's the conclusion to the book of Acts. Acts is a whole bunch of stories, right? That tell one big story. And we are part of that big story. So the stories of Jesus' lordship and the stories of the transformation in our lives and the stories of what God's doing in others around us are stories that we need to tell one another. Because the world is going to be listening in as well. And wanting to hear those stories. So, I'm going to give you an example from my own life of how to tell those stories. And I'll tell something from each category. But I want you to think for a minute. If you have a story of something that is amazing that Jesus is doing in your world right now, or a story of something amazing that Jesus is doing in you right now, or a story of something amazing that Jesus is doing in someone else. So listen to my stories, but I don't want to be the only one telling a story. I've got a microphone here, and I want to hear some stories, okay? Let's see if we can do that. But let me tell some stories first, okay? Jesus, it's all about Jesus. I've probably told you before that I don't have a full-time job with Friendship Church. My full-time job, which this summer became about 50 hours a week, is working driving truck and supervising truck drivers. And sometimes I can't quite figure out how being a pastor, a part-time pastor, and a full-time truck driver, how that all goes together. But there are those instances, and one of them happened just a little more than a week ago. One of my coworkers and I were riding along in the truck, and out of the blue, her question was, "So what is it you do at the church?" And a window of opportunity just opened up that I could not have created on my own. God put me in this small truck driving company. He had me work there for a period of time, moved me into a supervisory role, made me work more hours so that last week there was an opportunity to speak about who Jesus is to me. The story of my life is all about Jesus like that. You see, it's not that flamboyant and it's not that grandiose. I don't have people inviting me to go speak at the Rogers Center for a whole convention of... No. I have a truck driving company with employees who have questions. And God has me there. It's all about Jesus. I can't tell that story any other way than to say it's all about Jesus. It's amazing what he's doing. Related to that, in the Turn and Be Healed, I still battle a lot of pride issues about being pastor and understanding that role with regard to my truck drive. I sometimes think I should, you know, be invited to speak to large groups of people. I have that tape playing in the back of my mind that I'm somebody special. And I have to fight against that. And God knocks me down sometimes because of that pride. And this same instance did it again. Because it isn't about me pursuing a career. It isn't about me getting notoriety. It's about God getting the glory through me. And because he transforms me, because he humbles me, because he puts me in places that I wouldn't necessarily go on my own, look what he's able to accomplish. And then let me tell you one more story. I go to York University on every other Thursday night with Pastor Chong's Theology Over Pizza. And one reason I go there is to be an adult presence, but I also go there because there are a whole bunch of young, excited Christians who are living out their Christianity in a completely secular environment. It is so exciting to see. It is so wonderful to see young folks wrestling with their faith when they hear something in the classroom that doesn't quite connect with their faith, to see them wrestle with it and to see them try to figure out an answer that makes sense, that they can speak of, and that they can move forward in their growth and in their knowledge. It's exciting. And only God arranged that place for me as well. Because I find great encouragement when I see that. If I'm down and if I'm sort of weary of church and weary of faith, going there immediately picks up my spirits. It's an amazing place to be. So those are the kinds of stories that we live, but that we need to tell one another. To encourage one another's imagination for how God might be using us, for how God might be placing us. We need to tell what God is doing. So let me ask, if I grab the microphone, does anybody have a story of what Jesus is doing in your world? I've got the red microphone here.
I was thinking here, part of the story everybody knows. For many, many, many years, I relied on myself, and I relied on the power of alcohol to see me through each day. And then on, I can even tell you the date, on January the 17th, 1994, the Lord tapped me on the shoulder and said, "John, that's enough. Now you are going to live for me." And living for myself brought no satisfaction. It brought only misery. And since then, slowly but surely, as my life changed around, I have had the experience of riches beyond my belief. And it's only because now I am no longer my own. We have a saying in the program is let go and let God.
Amen.
And as I let, the more I let go and the more I let God, each day has become a joy. And each day is not always good. As you know, I've health problems, but even with that, I can shout with joy for each day that the Lord gives me, because He is truly everything to me today.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Anyone else's story? You don't have to just tell them here. I encourage you in your small groups. And I mean, when we think of fellowship time after church, oftentimes we talk about the score of the game, right? Or we talk about what we did in our work. See if you can spin those conversations just a little bit. Begin to talk about what Jesus is doing in you, in your world, in others around you. Tweak those conversations. It's okay to talk about sports. It's okay to talk about your work. Tweak them a little bit. Anyone else? I do not want to stop an opportunity that you may be looking for. Anyone? Will you pray with me? Lord God, You've called us through Luke, through the book of Acts. You've called us to live the story, to live the story and to tell the story, to tell the marvelous deeds of our Lord and Savior, to be transformed by who You are, to be encouraged, excited, thrilled at what You're doing in the lives of others. Lord God, we each have a story to tell. And we may be shy to tell it to a whole group of people, but God, don't let us be so shy that we never tell it. Maybe we begin with one person. Maybe we begin with our group, our small group. But God, let those stories be told. And through the telling of the stories, may the living of the story be encouraged as well, so that more and more our lives reflect Your presence in us and Your presence in Your world. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for using stories. Stories from long ago, stories from just last week, stories from 1994 and onward. Stories of your power reaching to the ends of the earth, reaching deep into our lives, reaching deep into the chaos and the mess that we make of things, and restoring, replenishing, renewing, recreating. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll have our congregational prayer now.
I think there's another story here. I believe Dan User is here. Way in the back. Another beautiful story. Welcome, Dan. Praise be to God. You get those moments where you're thinking, is this a coincidence or is God right there? The coincidence is Pastor Steve asked for a story yesterday. Before my prayer, I thought, I got a little story here. So I'm going to share that story. When I realized that I had asked to do the congregational prayer, I thought, how in the world am I going to do that? How am I going to put that together? There's no way. I can't write for worth beans. That's why I cut grass. I upped about 15 words per minute on the computer. Take me forever. I thought I'd start with Psalms. So the first verse I read in Psalm says, my heart is stirred by a note to me as I recite my verses for the king. My tongue is the pen of a skilled writer. Don't worry, I'm not convinced I'm a writer. But I was encouraged. May I lead you in prayer. God, you are the creator, the author of the universe. You made the seed that sprouts a beautiful flower. Thank you. That you made the seed that sprouts to a beautiful flower. Or a giver, or a giant of a tree. You put the stars and planets in its place. It is you, Lord, that allows the eagle and the hawk to soar in the wind, and we look in awe. You put so much care and beauty into putting it all together. We thank you. This is the God that we have come to worship today. We ask that you will bless and guide Pastor Steve, as he brings your word, we thank you that he is with us, that we may be renewed with awe and wonder. Bless the worship team as they lead us in song, and thank you for the gifts that they bring. We also thank you for the gifts that have joined this morning. May they find you, Lord, in a warm, welcoming new home. This past week, we were blessed with people signing up for new youth groups. They're starting this week. We thank you for the leaders, the opportunity we also to reach out to the community around us. May our youth and neighbors come to love and serve you. Lord, we ask that you will, that our leaders may know the direction that you wish to take this congregation, that we may be a people of God. Father, there's an election coming up for new leaders in our country. We ask that we try to discern who to vote for, that we also may ask what questions we should ask of our leaders and those who wish to lead. The world, when we see the news, looks very troubled and chaotic. Refugees by the millions are looking for a new country to live. Where do we begin to help? Every day gives violence. Hatred fills our news. Surely you grieve for a lost world, a world that needs you. Help us to be brave, to give you voice, and to give your voice and love and light in the world. We thank you that Phil and Jeanette were able to arrive well in Tanzania and quickly be leading in their work. We thank you for their enthusiasm of their calling there. Will you bless all those that are away from their homes now to bring your word and to love across the nations? Lord, we pray for John DeWild, who has been hospitalized due to complications from his radiation and chemo treatments. Allow John to fight back for his health. We thank you for the support and help that he receives. We thank you, Lord, that Dan is here. We pray for Dan as he continues to gain his mobility and his everyday things that he can continue to do. We pray for Trixie, that she may be sustained and strengthened in her new role as a helper. We pray for Gail, that her body can fight off any infections that she might want to invade her body. We ask, Lord, that she might gain strength to tell, so that she can use her new lungs that has been given to her. We thank you for her faith in you, Lord, the great healer. We also rejoice with Devin and Michaela in their engagement. Be with them as they make their plans together. Lord, I just want to close this prayer with the closing words of Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. In Jesus' name we pray.